Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Louda, what do you got?
I have to be very honest. I'm not a huge NASCAR person. I've never really seen it, but I may be swayed.
Really?
But yes. I'm going
to
tell
you
why.
So you go to like Fontana to watch it?
Or?
I mean, maybe not maybe that closer. Swayed, but you know, just support a little bit more because for the first time we have a Mexican-born driver who won at the Sonoma NASCAR Cup Series this weekend. Daniel Suarez, who is from Monterrey, super young guy, 30 years old, is the second Latino but first Mexican-born driver to win. So I'm like, you know what? If my people are in this, I might be down to watch because I've never really had an interest to watch. Mm-hmm. But near here or there, I loved what he said. He said, I have a lot of people to thank in Mexico, my family that never gave up on me. A lot of people did, but I didn't. I'm just happy we were able to make it work. My story is very similar to many, many Mexicans, Latinos, coming to this country trying to find a goal or trying to find a dream. If I was able to make it happen, everyone out there can make it happen. Like I said, I've never really cared for this sport. It's like kind of cool, but I'm kind of scared because I see all the crashes. I'm like, eesh.
That's why people watch.
Really?
Yeah, people watch for the crashes.
I don't think people just watch for the crashes.
Really?
Yeah, people who aren't really fans just watch for the crashes.
Okay, that may be different.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. But I'm like, you know what? If one of my pasanos is in there, I could probably pay more attention to it.
All right.
Okay, fair enough.
There you go.
There it is. What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. What's the guy's name again, Laura? Just so
Daniel Suarez.
And he's from Monterrey?
Monterrey, Mexico.
You ever been to Monterrey?
No, but I am going to go soon because my friend is from there and he has a few properties there.
What a city. What a beautiful, amazing city.
I heard it's a very wealthy city.
It is. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you mention this guy, I mean, I don't know anything about his background, but there's a lot of wealthy people there.
You just assume that he's like a, you know, some sort of tycoon that he's racing cars.
No. I assume that he comes from a rich family.
He's like Mike. What's it? Bruce Wayne in Batman. He's just running around doing like, you know, stuff like that.
No, I mean, I made an assumption. The assumption I made is he probably comes from a really rich family that could afford that he was involved in probably like, you know, sprint cars and, you know, go karting and everything as a little kid because it's an expensive sport, you know.
You might be right, because my friend who is very well off here, his family is very well off over there.
Yeah. So, I've got a couple of friends down in Monterrey.
Monterrey.
See? It's great. You should go. I've been. It's awesome. I'll show you some videos.
I like Jalisco. Cool. Just because that's where my friend's from.
So real quick, before we get to the Dave Roberts stuff. I'm sorry. Before we get back to the Anthony Davis stuff, because there's people on hold that want to chime in about this. Okay? So we'll get to you in 1 second. Okay? So Lindsay sent me this quote. From Dave Roberts from over the weekend, kind of getting into his team, lighting into his team a little bit, saying they need to improve their mindset, their sense of urgency at the plate, et cetera, et cetera. It was from Sunday's pregame scrum. There's no audio of it. But, you know, a little over a week ago, Cappy, he made the comment about Walker Buehler. Now, listen, I don't think he was wrong about saying that about Walker Buehler. It just so happens Walker Buehler, now we understand, is dinged up. And there will be issues for the Dodgers to realize you know, how they'll have to handle that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, because dinged up, George, I don't know, man. I mean, when you say he's out
4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I had read 6 to 8 weeks. But even still, I mean, Walker Buehler coming into this season, I mean, that's the ace of your staff. Mm-hmm. And while his record looks okay,
he hasn't been good.
He by his own admission, has not been good, has not Correct. Been himself all year. Now we find out he's got some sort of an elbow issue that he's saying, well, you know, I was kind of getting through it before, but today I couldn't do it anymore. So who knows what's going to happen here with Walker Buehler? This is a big story for the Dodgers right now.
It is a big story. I do think it will implore Andrew Friedman to probably seek a trade faster. And look, we've already talked enough about their starting pitching needing some help, even though obviously Tony Gonsolin has pitched well, you know, and they've had a number of guys in that five hole pitch well for them.
What's happened so far, George, when you look at Walker Buehler, who's 6-3, and you look at Julio Urias, who's 3-6, you go, wow, they're still in first place, but Kershaw has been out for most of the season. Buehler hasn't been himself, and Urias' numbers don't seem to be what they were a year ago. But then, thankfully, you're lucky enough that a guy like Tyler Anderson and a guy like Tony Gonsolin are both 7-0.
Yeah. And, you know, there's an expectation that Dustin May could be available, you know, down the road as well. So there's that. But then, okay, so all of that happens. And then on Sunday, they're playing the Giants, and in the eighth inning, I believe it was the eighth inning, there was two outs, and Trey Turner, a ball drops right in front of the outfielder and gets past the outfielder in center field. And Trey Turner, you would think, rounding second as he sees the ball drop, is going to try to hustle to go home. You haven't scored a run. And he was asked about the play in that eighth inning, and his response was, quote, "My run is not really that important. I ran. I don't know why this is a question." Now, I'm watching, I mean, I was watching the game, and at the time, I was like, huh, that's weird. And I didn't have the angle, so I didn't know, did the third base coach hold him up? Like, was there something there that I couldn't see on the TV screen? But then I noticed that, and then I saw the video on the internet, and I'm like, oh, he just kind of pulled up. And it was just weird that that was the case. Now, I'm not saying he's dogging it or this, that, and the other, but what I would say to Trey Turner is this. Be careful. And only because I remember Manny Machado, when he was here a couple years ago, made a comment about not legging one out to first base, and that ruined his relationship with Dodger fans, basically.
But he also came into town with kind of a reputation for being a guy who dogs it. Trey Turner has a reputation as being a guy who's a total hustler. And so I'm not really sure why he didn't go for it. I mean, look, it's him. It's his body. It's his eyes. He knows his speed. He knows where the ball is. I mean, do we really think that he just decided, you know what? I don't really feel like giving much effort right now.
I don't know. I'm not trying to get in his head. I'm just telling you what the optics are. And what I'd also say, yes, Manny Machado had a different perception coming in. I think that the thing I've learned in 7 years here in Los Angeles, nobody gives a rat's ass what your perception was as long as you perform here. And they will give you a clean slate, basically, until you give them a reason not to have one. And they did that with Manny Machado, and then it became a thing. And what I'm saying with Trey Turner is, this can become a thing if you're not careful.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know Trey Turner as being a guy who has any sort of a reputation.
But what I'm saying is these fans don't care, you know? And if you don't, I mean, and I get it. Because look at Russell Westbrook. He's from here.
Dude,
and they were like, nah, dog.
Listen, we're talking about Anthony Davis. It doesn't take long for a fan base to turn on players when they're really highly paid, when they're really visible, when they're super important, and they don't perform. It doesn't take much for people to turn on guys.
Let's go to the phone, speaking of which. Devin is in L.A., wants to talk about AD. Go ahead, Devin.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
What's going on, man?
I just wanted to say, as a diehard Laker fan, to think that this is the guy that the Lakers are going to be, when LeBron leaves, this is the guy that's going to be taking the head of the table spot, so to speak. He's injury prone, man, and it's just a bad look. You know, for him to be, you know, playing video games and then, you know, just kind of saying nonchalantly, hey, I haven't shot a basketball since this. When LeBron puts out videos or little Instagram posts or what have you, you know what those are? Those are of him in the gym working out, working on his body. You know, this guy spends millions of dollars on his body. It's like, I'm just so frustrated with Anthony Davis, and I really think they should seek trading him, man. Think about trading him. That's it. I'm out, guys.
Wow. You trade him to the nuke squad.
Yeah, I think that. thank you, Devin.
Going to trade him to the YouTuber video game guys.
Yeah, look. I don't think you can trade Anthony Davis right now. First of all, we've talked about this right after the season ended, and people were emotional, and I get it. And Devin wasn't emotional. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, the reality is you'd be selling really low. Like, you don't sell a commodity or an asset or trade a player, right, when they're at their lowest value. Like, it's no different than, you know, trading a stock. you know, unless you desperately need the money, you're not trading that. You might as well just let it bounce. Try to bounce.
Yeah, I'm not for trading either. I can't see why you would trade him right now. Everything you're saying, 1,000% agree. Like, you're not going to get the value for Anthony Davis that you could have gotten 2 years ago, right? Can we agree on that?
Agreed.
Okay,
and so the issue
that we have, George, is will he ever be back to who he was 2 years ago? That's the big question.
I don't know.
And so then it becomes like this. Are we emotional about it? And because we're emotional, we're going to make a mistake. Or should we look at Anthony Davis just as, you know, an asset in a game? And you're like, see this asset right here? Take out who he is. Take out what he's won. Okay. Take out how good he was 2 years ago. What is he today? Oh, he's only this. Maybe we should get rid of him. I mean, that's the hard part of all this, because most of us are thinking if he's healthy and if he's right, he'll be Anthony Davis from 2 years ago. Don't we think that? Well, we're either going to be proven right or we're going to be proven wrong.
Well, look, he's had, 2 years ago after COVID, he absolutely came in poor shape. He was not ready to start the season. He was not thrilled about the season starting as quickly as it was. But nonetheless, that was the issue. And then he had the Achilles thing. And then last year, the idea was perhaps he changed his body, but he changed his body in the wrong sense, where he got bulky and it became more of a challenge for him. And he was less fluid than maybe he had been in previous years with his movements and whatnot. And I'm curious to see what he looks like when training camp starts. I don't know what that's going to be. And I'm not going to pretend to know, but I am curious to see, because I do think that if this does not work out this year for him, then the Lakers have a decision to make, I think, for sure.
Well, if you want to know what kind of shape he's in, George, let me suggest to you to check out the Nuke Squad video that I'm watching right now that you've now got me obsessed with. Okay. You know, Anthony Davis is quite a gamer.
He's very good.
Must be spending a lot of time gaming. I don't know what game they're playing, but is it possible that this... I don't know what this game is called. Anybody know this game that Anthony Davis plays?
No, I'm not watching, so I don't know.
What was...
But I want to talk to Kathy in Redondo Beach first.
Yeah,
can I do that?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Less about you on the Nuke Squad, more on Kathy.
Yeah, it's not about me. It's about Anthony Davis.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, George. Hi, everybody. How are you?
Hey. What's up, Kath?
Hey, it's 5 o'clock. It's 5:11. What's the cocktail of choice today?
Happy hour, Kathy.
I haven't drank in a while. I've just been drinking water, like bottled water.
Good for
water
you. Stay hydrated.
Yeah, nice hydration for you.
Yeah,
or sometimes I'll make my own, but it's very, very little alcohol. Mm-hmm. I make it out of fruit juices, like juice cocktails, you know.
No, like what? What do you mean? No, I don't know. What do you mean?
Yeah, you juice fruits and add fruit juices and you add yeast and you put it in gallons and after a week or so it's ready and then you strain it, you know, all the stuff out. And
wait, George, is that what you were thinking?
It's just similar.
She makes her own juice, her own real natural juice.
Oh.
Seltzers and stuff like that, but it's really, really low in alcohol.
Gotcha. Yeah. Didn't know any of that. I thought juicing was just like, you know, put some stuff in a blender and stir it all up.
Yeah, well, that's what you can also do, too. It's just easier to buy them over the counter, like those Naked and Ottawa's. They're better for you.
You like those, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so, Kathy, what do you got on AD?
AD, it's real simple. You know, and I think a lot of Laker fans are probably on the same page. They think he ought to be doing more. But the bottom line is it's really not up to them. It's right now, as long as he's under the doctor's care, and if he's going to Health South and Lakers doctors, he's under the manager at Health South, you know, his therapist. And if he's treating his ankle and his knee, and I hope to God maybe his neck and his back, because, you know, that's jacked up, too. It is, because as many times as they fall, every time, you know, they got to keep that in line. And that's, they don't always think to do that, and they have to do a lot of strengthening. So, you know, that's really his call. You know, like when I used to work for Willie Davis, one of the things he always used to say is, you know, you got to want it. And he made us hats. You know, he taught me a lot of things. And, you know, that was one of my deciding factors back when I called you during the playoffs, you know, when I told you I'd become a Celtic fan because I really fell in love with Martha Stewart.
Yep. Yeah, Kathy, we thought maybe you went a little too far on that one, I got
to
be honest.
Well, yeah, but here's too the much how fruit and juice. The why. I never got to clear that up with you, and I love you guys so much, and I don't want that to destroy our friendship.
No, it's not. It will never destroy our friendship.
We can all still get along.
I was wondering about you.
How could I do that? Well, the how is I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired of all the missed shots and them losing and losing, and then Ken from Newport Beach would call in and be drilling, you know, Slee after every game, and you know he'd be writing a lot of things, and then, you know, hell was going to break loose, and, you know, it's just...
I actually don't know.
You know, no.
I don't.
No, but you're not listening to the Slee postgame, that's why.
Yes, I am. I listen.
No, not you. Cappy is what I'm saying.
No, I just said Kathy had said to me, you know, and I was like, no, I don't. I didn't know what she meant.
Russell because Cappy doesn't know. Cappy doesn't listen to the Slee postgame.
Yeah, no, I do. But and then the why is because I don't have that bone name hate. Like when you look at all those players like Jason Tatum and, you know, White and Williams and Marcus and all the rest of them.
Yeah, the rest of them dudes.
They don't deserve all the hate that the world's dishing out their way.
Hear that, Laura? You be hating. You be hating on the Boston Celtics.
You know, that started way back in the days of Jerry West and Magic Johnson and all those guys. You know, that was between them and Larry Bird.
It's a whole different era, Laura. Don't hate, celebrate. Listen to Kathy.
Never.
Kathy. Kathy.
And I'm just looking. I didn't choose them because they were Celtics. I chose them because I felt, in my opinion, that they were the best players out there.
She didn't choose this Celtic life. The Celtic life chose her.
No.
No, that's true.
Kathy.
Marcus Smart.
I think you need to put more alcohol in
the juices. I'm in love with him. I really am. I'll be honest. Hook, line, and sinker. I think he's just an outstanding player.
Big Marcus Smart fan, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Can tell.
Kathy, I think you need to go with some more juices.
I agree.
I mean, some more alcohol in the juices. Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate you.
Put some alcohol in it. Okay. Yeah. Bye, guys.
See you. Yeah. All right. I know there's more people that want to chime in on that, but, you know, whenever Kathy calls in, she doesn't call that often anymore.
But she does, ramble a lot. And it's.
Oh, but I love it.
Right. No, and it becomes mesmerizing, doesn't it? Like, in some sort of weird hypnotic trance, like, she just is rambling, and you're like.
I love it. I love it.
I'm just listening to everything she's saying.
I love listening to Kathy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, anyway. We also don't take as many calls as we used to. But nonetheless, we're taking them today. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. So let me know how you feel about the AD stuff. How do you feel about Dave Roberts kind of challenging his team? What the hell should the Dodgers do with Walker Buehler? And were you really upset at Trey Turner? Do you think he may have dogged it a little bit in that game against the Giants? Because, the perception is that he's pulled up. Like, it was weird. You're down two runs. It's the eighth inning. You're on the road. Why aren't you trying to hustle to score there? Like, I don't understand the logic to that. And he said he was running. I'm like, I mean, you were kind
I'm going
of
back
running.
To analyze this video right now. I got to analyze
this.
Yeah,
he's like jogging, dude.
I got to analyze this video.
And I'm not that guy. You know that. I am not that guy.
Wait a second. What do you mean? Which guy are you? Are you that guy or are you not that guy?
I'm not the guy that's sitting here with the Zapruder film trying to figure out, like, if a guy's, like, running or jogging or whatever. But that one seems fairly obvious to me.
That he's jogging.
Correct. All right. We're back in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's so funny. You do the same thing you do with a rap song, except because the song is faster, you just speed it up.
Yeah, you just got to feel it, George. You know, you got to stay with the beat of the music, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like my Peloton class that I took this morning. You know, you got to stay on beat.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, what's the best song in this album, Forever Your Girl?
What is the best song on Forever Your Girl?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to hear the songs before I make a
choice. Come on. You don't know the album, Paul Abdul? You were in, like, college in
the 80s. I know, but, like, off the top of my head, I'm like, I remember every Paul Abdul song.
I mean, what's the most famous Paul Abdul song?
I don't know. What's the one where she's doing the dance with, like, the Pink Panther on the video?
Oh, my
Cat.
God.
Yeah.
That's Opposites Attract.
Yes, that. Is that
no,
it?
No, that's not the most famous
song. Not the most famous?
No.
What's the most famous?
Now tell me.
Straight Up.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that on that album?
Yes.
Well, George, I didn't have that album.
What album did you have?
I didn't have any Paul Abdul albums. Did you?
I did. She was a jam back then.
Yeah, I could jam on the radio, but buying a Paul Abdul album was not something that I was doing. I can tell you.
Why not?
It just wasn't my deal.
Why were you anti-Paula?
Better question is, why were you pro-Paula?
Because she was awesome.
I don't know, but admitting on the radio that you were like Mr. Paula Abdul fan, like, you know, as a teenager.
Yeah,
everybody
I wasn't a
loved
first
her.
Of all, I was 11.
Yeah.
Let's start there. Second of all, she was awesome.
She may have been, but I didn't have her album.
Did you ever own like a Madonna cassette
yes,
or something?
I've got a little Madonna in my phone,
okay,
as a matter of fact.
What is that? So how is that any different?
I don't know,
still
Madonna,
pop music.
Yeah, well, I just didn't have any Paula Abdul albums. I can't be shamed on that. Come on.
I'm not shaming you, but you were the one trying to shame me because I liked Paula
how
Abdul
shaming?
As an 11-year-old.
Well, I'm just saying.
And
you're
still like her now, as a matter of fact.
Give me a hard time. I don't have her album. I don't know the album by heart. I don't know the
You're a
song.
Cold-hearted snake.
Because I don't know all the songs on the album?
No, because that's it. Yes, that snake. And you're, she's also got that song, Cold Hearted Snake.
Oh, you're a cold hearted snake. Is
ooh,
that it?
Ooh, look into my eyes.
Oh, I know that song. I just didn't know it was on that album.
He's been telling lies.
You know, I thought.
That part right there.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah, that is you.
Yeah.
All growing up, I loved Paula Abdul. I also had her tapes,
mm-hmm.
not albums.
Yeah. Okay.
And my dad had me convinced up until I was like an adult that her dad was Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh, I love Abdullah the Butcher. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Right.
I was so scared one night. My
so
father
used to
and I,
hide that the foreign object in his pants
yep.
and then bludgeon you with it.
My father and I once saw Abdullah the Butcher. This is those old shows, man. And we were there, and we were close to the ring, and my dad was doing what you're supposed to do in a wrestling match. You yell at the bad guys. And my father was yelling at Abdullah the Butcher, and Abdullah the Butcher heard my dad and for some reason like made eye contact and pointed at my father and like threatened that he was going to kill him. You know, like, come up to the ring, you come up here. And I was like a little kid, like, oh my God, Dad, Abdullah the Butcher's going to kill you. You can't go up in there. And my dad's acting like he's tough, like he's going to get up in there, and people are trying to hold him back. Like, I don't know why, but I've been petrified of Abdullah the Butcher my whole life for that night.
He's a scary looking guy. But yeah, my dad told me, like, he called her Paula Abdullah the Butcher.
I love that.
Yeah.
That was her dad.
But you are a cold-hearted snake.
Look into your eyes.
Uh-oh. You've been telling lies.
What's the next line? He's a...
lover boy.
Something.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm watching this Trey Turner thing, just so you know.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
dale.
I'm watching the Trey Turner thing. Your complaint is, as I understand it...
He sees the ball bounce.
Right.
And then go past the outfielder.
Right.
And then he doesn't, like... start sprinting to try to score from second base.
Well, are you complaining about him holding up at third and not just going for it?
No, Cap, if you watch the play.
Yeah, I'm watching it. Over
he's
and
seen
over
the
over
ball
again.
Bounce.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of, okay, so here he is. He sees the ball bounce. He rounds second.
Right.
And then he's just kind of lightly jogging into third. He's not like booking it to get home. It's a 2-run game in the eighth inning.
Your point
what are you
is,
supposed to sprint?
Your point is he should be going for the score. He
let's go. Full throttle.
Right.
Yes.
And he's not. He's slowing down at
the
third.
The ball just got past the outfielder who dove.
Right. Now, I'm watching this video, and when Trey Turner pulls up at third, I don't know what's happening in right center field. That's my
well,
big problem.
Well, eventually the guy gets there, but if he hustles, he has a chance to score. For him to get there.
I see the center fielder is going to cover for the right fielder who the ball got underneath.
Right. Eventually that guy gets there, but like if he's running immediately on the bounce, okay, after the outfielder dies, because you see the other guy having to cross over to run and get the ball, right? Like you see the outfielder behind him sprinting, but he's still a ways away. So if you, at that second, you have to make that determination. Look, man, I'm not a $25 million baseball player, but I've watched enough baseball in my life to know that's when you have to hit the boosties, you know what I mean, and try to get home in a 2-run game
so
in the eighth inning.
What did Trey Turner say, though, Lindsay? What was his comment about my running?
He said, my run is not really that important.
Huh.
I ran. I don't know why this is a question.
All right, and what you're saying is that he was not giving 100%, correct?
Or he had a brain fart, one or the other.
Either way, you're saying he's dogging it.
Dogging it is strong. What I'm saying is I don't understand his logic there. Like, what was the calculus in his head that made him believe he shouldn't try to score there?
And yet we can't see where the third base coach is in this, if he's holding him up.
No, that I don't know. And I didn't see it in any replay, and I haven't seen it. I didn't see it when I was watching live. I was just I didn't see what the third base coach was doing. But my guess is the writers who were there got a chance to see the play develop without any issues. And that's why they asked him about it, and he got testy about it.
Hmm. I mean, for a guy who's as great a base runner as Trey Turner is, for a guy that's got a reputation of being a hustler, for a guy that has, you know, used his legs to score some, you know, crazy runs and diving at home plate and everything. I mean, I just got to say, based on 13 seconds of video, I'm having a hard time calling the dude out for dogging it, you know?
But I didn't say he was dogging it. I just said I don't understand the calculus he made in his head. Like, why aren't you running there? Like, what was the reason to not run full speed there in a two-run game in the eighth inning? Do you listen to what I say, or are you just making it up as you go?
I'm listening to what you're saying, but what you're saying is you don't understand the calculus in his head.
Right, because here's the thing, Cap. When you're... He's clearly eyeing, the smart thing is before he gets to second base, you can see him eyeing where the ball is and if the outfielder's going to make a play, because if the outfielder makes an incredible catch, he's got to haul ass back to first base.
Right.
He sees the ball drop and go behind him, okay? Here comes the center fielder trying to go the other direction, trying to get to the ball. He's got to sprint the other way. Why isn't he sprinting in the same capacity when it's like, yo, we have a chance to score. We haven't scored any runs in this damn game. I need to at least try to make a play. And if he gets thrown out at home, Cap, I'm like, you know what? I'll live with that. But I can't live with you not running in a full sprint in that particular scenario when that is the exact scenario you learn in Little League to run full sprint.
I love what you're saying. Just so you know, I heard every word, and I heard every word prior to that. You're questioning his calculus in his mind.
Right, which but is, what which, you, did you have a brain is, fart is my question.
Which is like saying you're not giving maximum effort in that moment.
No, I'm asking you, what are you thinking? That's what I'm asking.
But you're saying that he's not running 100%.
Because he's probably thinking like, oh, I don't think I can make it. When it's like, really? That's the exact moment you have to push the pedal.
You're the fastest guy. You're the best base runner. You should have the autonomy to blow through the sign and say, hey, it's 2-0.
Well, we don't know if there was a sign. Well, and my guess is that the writers, again, who were there, who asked him the said question, probably saw that there was no stopping him at third base. If I had to guess, maybe I'm wrong. Okay,
right. It sounds like everybody's questioning his effort on the bases. That's what it sounds like to me. You don't think so? You don't think that's questioning the effort?
I'm not questioning the effort. I'm questioning what he was thinking. There's a difference there. Do you realize that?
Well, I mean, you're saying that he should have turned on the jets once the ball got underneath the outfielder's glove.
Cap, let me ask you a question. You played football, okay?
I mean, onside
kick. Onside kick happens, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. You're kicking an onside kick.
Right.
It goes 10 yards.
Yep.
Let's say ball gets bounces off the defender's pads.
Yeah.
Isn't everybody sprinting for the football?
I mean, I guess you're supposed to, but I mean, some guys like me are like, ooh, don't hit me. Don't touch me.
But your teammates, they're all sprinting.
Yeah, those guys
are
like, hey, guys, get in there and try really hard. Yeah.
So when a ball bounces, okay, and he's eyeing it, he's looking right at it, Trey Turner. When he's looking right at it and the ball bounces in front of and over a diving outfielder, okay, trying to make a heroic play,
mm-hmm.
He sees it. And as soon as he turns, I'm like, oh, well, he's going to go. And it's like, no, he kind of just says, all right, I'm going to make it to third. I'm just going to get to third. And I'm going to pull up. And it's like, I don't understand that. That's when you have to push the button there. That's when you have to, because that's a play he's done probably 1,000 times in his career from like the time he's been playing baseball. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I was stunned by it.
All I'm saying is that him getting defensive and saying to the writers that are talking to him, like, hey, my running is not the issue. I don't know why everybody's making a big deal out of it. That's like saying, what guys, I'm on the field. I'm the one that has to make the decision. I saw it go behind him.
No,
I saw where the center fielder was.
The worst, you can't say my run is not really that important.
Can't say
you're
that.
You're down two runs in the eighth inning.
Mm-hmm. Because
you
then
can't
people,
say that.
I know. You know why you can't say that? Because then people will question your effort. Because people will say, but I saw the ball go under his glove, and then I saw the other guy,
no.
And you're down 2-0, and you got to make it home.
Actually, it's worse. I'm not questioning your effort. I'm questioning, like, your acumen.
Okay,
in that scenario.
So it's actually what you're saying is, by questioning the calculus, it's actually worse than questioning his effort because you're questioning where is his head? Is he thinking about his podcast that he has to go record in his hotel room after the game?
Why did you just make him Draymond? I don't even understand this.
Well, I'm just saying that you're questioning what's going on in his brain.
I'm just wondering, like, dude, that play has probably happened a million times in your life. Like, how is this the one you're not, like, I don't know.
And
by the way, if you come out and say, I just had a brain fart, then I'm like, all right, you had a brain fart. It happens. I make mistakes every day. I mean, we know you do. That's for sure.
Well, but in this particular instance, what you've said is you're not questioning his effort. What you're questioning is even more of an accusation. You're questioning where was his head.
Right.
Okay, got it. Now we've reached a conclusion.
But again, if you tell me, I just made a mistake, I'm like, all right. But don't tell me the run isn't important. Like,
run
that's
doesn't
crazy.
Matter. Run doesn't matter. What does it matter?
I mean, that to me was wild. Like, I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? Again, if he just says, like, hey, man, I ran it out. I just, you know, I didn't think I could make it, right? Even
that's
if he
the
tells
answer.
Me that.
Yeah, that's the answer. I didn't think I could make it.
Yeah, if he says, I can't make it, okay, whatever. I mean, honestly, if he would have said, I didn't think I could make it, I would have said what you said about the writers. I would have said, he's the guy on the field. He's been through this a million times. I side with Trey Turner. But the minute he says the run's not important, I'm like, whoa, that's defensive. Why are you saying that? That's silly.
And now people go on radio questioning your mental calculus.
All right, you know what?
Way to go, Trey.
I'm gonna question your attire in a bit. I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, I hope you got a jacket for me.
I don't know. I'll figure it out
after this combo.
Now I don't know. Really, an argument about the Dodgers? Really? Means no jacket?
I don't know. Maybe not.
No jacket for me.
I gotta go to break. Laura's been yelling at me for 2 minutes, but you keep annoying me.
Let's go.
You big dummy! Can we get that drop from Sanford and Son? You big dummy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price. Priceline.
The one and only. That's very nice.
There she
is. That's like new, right? To the open.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that before. The one and only. Yeah. Here I am.
Cappy, I got you a jacket already.
Really? How's it look?
It's nice. Please. Let's send pics in the group chat.
Yeah, can I see it?
It's just a... okay, I'll take a picture. Go ahead, ask him first then.
Okay. So I'll start with you, Cap.
Yeah,
so
please.
We already heard about how the Angels changed all their walk-up songs to Nickelback in a hapless attempt to end their 14-game losing streak last week. Mm-hmm. And, of course, remember, that did not work, right? But last night, during Sunday Night Baseball, ESPN reported that perhaps was the saddest wrinkle and unintentionally hilarious detail about that whole losing streak. Recognizing that the team needed some levity in the clubhouse, the 68-year-old Madden decided to switch things up. And Tim Kirkjian explained it.
Oh, I know this story. Do we have Tim Kirkjian?
I'd love to hear Tim Kirkjian. Yep. I'm a big Tim Kirkjian fan.
After consecutive loss number 12, Madden got a mohawk haircut to try to awaken his team. But the players never saw it. He was fired.
I'm sorry, but I thought that the way that he explained it in like dramatic detail like that was quite funny.
Right. They never got to see it.
So, yeah, 68-year-old Joe Madden got a mohawk. You know, it was kind of going to be his little slump buster thing. But, of course, the Angels players never got to see it because, you know, he got fired that day.
How come nobody heard about this? Like, you know when Joe Madden, the day he was fired, and all the stories were coming out about how, you know, the GM comes to his house and they talk about it, and then he goes and he runs to the Athletic and he does an interview. How come nobody mentioned, hey, I got a mohawk to try and slump bust, and the players never even, how come Madden didn't say to the GM, you can't fire me today. I have a mohawk. The players haven't seen it. You got to give me one more game. I need one more game.
That's a pretty interesting cry to keep your job.
Right? I got a mohawk.
It would have been fascinating. A fascinating
might work
way
for you,
to,
Cap.
Yeah. I feel like that's what you would have done, though.
I have never had a mohawk.
Me neither.
Was my question. Have you or would you ever rock a mohawk?
Have never had one.
No.
Probably would say I wouldn't. I've also never shaved my
head. What about a faux hawk? Did you have a faux hawk?
What is a faux hawk?
when it's not like a real mohawk, because a mohawk is like shaved everywhere in the hair in the middle.
Uh-huh,
you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
A faux hawk has hair still, but like just like a little bit of a rise.
It
where
does
the mohawk
this in the, in the middle. It like triangles up, I guess you could call it.
I mean, maybe some form of that, a faux hawk. I just didn't know that's what it was called. Now that I do, I won't ever have it again.
I feel like you like Sean McVay. I feel like he may have had a faux hawk.
He
at
has
one.
Point,
or he does have one.
He has one.
Okay.
I don't know if he has he had one.
Yeah, no, he has one. He rocks one.
I feel like I could picture him. Like he's one of the first people that come to mind.
For sure.
You never had one, Sedano? Never?
No.
Never tried out the faux hawk?
Not my thing.
Not down in Miami.
When faux hawk came into style, I was already too old for that crap.
Okay.
Anybody here ever have a shaved head? A baldy?
Well, I'm a girl, so no.
Maybe when I was a little kid, I did like the razor thing, like probably in my house. Not the razor, but like the machine one time in my house.
I'm talking like,
it, like
really
one summer,
like really shaved, like truly bald, shiny bald.
No, no.
Me I've neither. Always wanted to do that.
My
I've had two, to be honest, but I don't know what my head would look
my,
like.
So. Same, and I'm too vain to do it. But I do. I feel like a couple of like bumps in my head, you know. And
well,
like,
I don't have any bumps, so I feel like I'm okay in that regard. But like, I just don't know if it'd be something I'd want
to
rock.
Dude, I feel
you
like
know,
I have
you
a
know
bump.
What it is too. If you go bald like that, you need to be in really good shape.
Yeah, and probably have to be able to grow a nice goatee as well.
Yeah,
and
or probably, some facial hair.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Bald is a red flag. Not a red flag, but it's a no go for me.
Really? No, yeah. Not into
not
bald.
Not even dudes. Like by choice?
Correct. Okay. Not a fan of the bald head.
Okay. Don't want to run your fingers through somebody's scalp, huh?
Nope.
Got
definitely
it.
Not.
Got it.
Hair, I just, you know, it's just one of those things. Everyone's got their things, and I feel like hair is important to me.
Okay.
All right, next one. So I saw a really funny TikTok video go viral over the weekend. It was of a guy getting even with his, quote, rude neighbor. The TikToker, his name is That Projector Guy, who has had some issues with his neighbor in the past, set up a projector to play Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion's song, WAP.
WAP, I love WAP.
On his neighbor's porch. He then ran inside and hid to watch his neighbor's reaction. So his neighbor came out. She was like this probably middle-aged / older woman. And she was like, excuse me? And it was a very funny, like, Karen, typical Karen moment.
Really? Did she come out like, would you stop playing WAP?
She was like, excuse me? Kind of like a witch, what it sounded like. It was very funny.
Laura, can you play WAP for us?
But have you guys ever had a very rude neighbor?
No, can't play that song on the air.
Or have you ever been a rude neighbor? Swipe left or swipe right?
No, I've usually been a really good neighbor. Like, I have, I'm trying to think. I've always been, like, the guy, like, when I lived in an apartment building, when I was, you know, single, or even just me and my wife at the time, or when we were dating, like, even if people had, like, parties going on, like, I wasn't the guy calling or whatever. Like, that just wasn't my thing. Like, let them have fun. Like, one day it'll be me. You know what I mean? Like, we'll be having a party and we won't want anyone calling, right? Like, so, like, I've never really been that guy. You know what I have been? I've been the neighbor that, like, I've heard something crazy happen, like a crash or something happened, like, down the street. And I've, like, run out and been like, oh, my God, is there anyone hurt? Like, I've... And
well, that's like the
like
nice
that.
Neighbor. You're not like
wow,
the,
like to the rescue.
The
wow.
Busybody neighbor, like my mom who'd run over there and be like, what's going on over here?
Yeah. I was thinking the other way, though. Have I ever had a really rude neighbor? I can't think of a time where I've been necessarily the rude guy neighbor, but I can't think of any time where I've had the rude neighbor. But this is actually so funny you brought this up. Just this weekend, I pulled up to Rubber Rachel's house. And three doors down, there's a guy, and next door, there's a lady, and apparently this lady has caused some havoc within the neighborhood. I don't really know all the stories, but I saw this guy yelling at this lady, you effing bee, everybody in this neighborhood hates you, and I was like out front just walking in like, what the hell's going on here?
This is such bleepery.
It was bleepery. It was just me and some other
what
dude.
What happened?
That was it. Like, he went in, she went in, I walked in. I was like, you have no idea what just happened. She's like, what? I go, this guy's yelling at the lady next door that everybody apparently doesn't like. We don't know her. We've never met her.
Yeah.
This guy was bawling her out, though. Loud.
I've got neighbor stories living in an apartment complex, especially around here for days.
Well, we know. You told us that one story about that weirdo guy.
I joined you.
I've got so many, and then I've even got stories back from when I, like, lived in Ohio. And this past weekend, I actually was wondering this myself because I'll take a nap after work and then I'll wake up at like a weird hour, like 1 a.m. And I'm like, oh, crap, I had to get something done. So I was putting together this chair that I have and it was like 1:30 in the morning. And at one point I needed to use a hammer a mallet to like clink it together.
Oh, that's a bad idea.
And it was like 1 a.m, but I was like, I know my roommate sleeps like a log, so I could do this. It was literally
but what
like,
about your neighbor?
Well, it was like 2 minutes that I was doing this, and I was like, they'll get over it. They had like banged on the wall at me, and I
oh no,
to
I'd be pissed
like,
at you. Well,
you're the rude
the morning
neighbor,
girl.
Right
what is
you're that
wrong?
Guy?
It
you're
was,
that guy.
It was literally like 2 minutes.
No, 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 no.
And
you are that guy.
No, no, 2 a.m, banging. That's different.
No, banging versus banging.
Well, wait, and I
if you're
also
having
want
a party
mention,
at 2 a.m, that's different because maybe I'll be like, yo, wife and I are coming over.
Club
but like,
bangers.
But not like banging a mallet or a hammer at 2 a.m. Hell no.
Well, they often have loud music playing really late, whatever, because like I said, sometimes I'm up at weird hours. But the guy, I had to move my bed to the other side of the room because the guy snores so loud, it would keep me up at night. Like, I could hear him snoring through the wall.
Wow.
It was bad.
He's that guy.
Yes.
Just like, you know, you're that guy. You're the hammer in the middle of the night guy.
Yeah. I was the other night. I mean, it wasn't my finest moment, but you know what?
That was weird. You just had a Trey Turner moment.
Just like, whatever. You know, they'll get over it.
Dude, they're questioning your effort now.
Yeah. Cappy, I saw you responding to 805 Raider, who helped you win the other day on Mason and Ireland's game of games.
Yeah.
He said, at Scott Kaplan, your boy Sedano's 100% right on this Trey Turner thing. He should have tried to score, no questions asked. And you said, right, with an exclamation point. But he's questioning the effort and or where his head is at, so say it.
Yeah, say it.
And then I responded to you that said, why are you so basic? Life isn't binary. It's plenty nuanced.
Well, I had that. I talked about nuance earlier today related to Charles Barkley versus Robert Horry. There's lots of nuance there.
Well,
and I wasn't allowed to be nuanced back
no,
then.
No, but you explained it better the second time than you did the first time.
All right.
That was the difference.
Got it.
You explained the actual nuance is what you, and then I was like, oh, now I get it. Of course.
All I know is this.
Why are you so basic, though? That's a good question.
I don't know. I don't know if it's basic or not. Look, I agree. Trey Turner, when you're down 2-0 and it's the eighth inning and you're on the road and you've already lost a couple of games. Was this Saturday's game or Sunday's game?
Dale, corre.
Okay. So, look, you're supposed to go for it. And as a leader and as somebody whose game is speed, you should go for it. But I can't see the third base coach. I don't know what's in his head. Yeah. Questioning his effort. No, not questioning his effort.
He might have forgotten how many outs there were, to be honest with you.
Right. Worse, you said. It's not questioning his effort. You said it's worse. It's questioning where
his
head's
at. Well, the mental, I mean, again, because you're not, at least if you had a mental gaffe, if you admit it, I will say, if someone admits they made a mistake, like in these situations, I'm the first to be like, hey, man, he's human. He's going to make a mistake. Like, I know you don't love it, but that's the reality of it. We all make mistakes.
Right. Chris Webber called the timeout when there weren't any.
When you get defensive about it and you start like blaming the reporter who's asking you the question.
It's
what
the reporter's
kind of question
fault.
Is this?
Right.
You know, that seems silly.
It's the media.
Radio Tinder is presented by our sponsor, our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and do what I do. Demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. All right, final segment coming up next. Mason and Ireland got into this ridiculous debate about Steph Curry. Let's touch on some of that because I want to revisit that. I thought it was a funny conversation. We'll do it as we're leading up to the game at 6 o'clock here on 710 ESPN. Back in 2 minutes. Pa que no pare. Baila, baila. Scott Kaplan.
Dude, when I baila, baila, check me out, Laura. Look, let's take a look at...
He looks like he's juggling... I don't even want to say what.
What? What does it look like I'm juggling? What? Okay. Like tennis balls, coconuts, bowling pins? What am I juggling?
I will leave that up to anybody's imagination.
Baile, baile.
Baila, baila.
Yes.
All bad, bro. All bad.
Not that far off, you know. You guys should give me a little credit. My Spanish is not that far off.
No. It's not the Spanish that I'm giving you hell for. It's whatever the hell you were doing right there.
The juggling move. This is the front juggle right here. And watch this. Side juggle. Now side, now front, and back, and side.
Can you actually juggle in real life, though?
Oh, hell's to the yeah.
I can't.
No, you can't.
Come on.
I bet you can.
Come on. Give me three tennis balls. Let me juggle.
Okay. I'm going to bring three tennis balls to the event tonight in the parking lot. Do it.
Yeah, not basketballs. They're too big.
No. I will bring three tennis balls.
People can't juggle basketballs.
Why not? I bet you Anthony Davis can because he's working on his juggling.
Working on something.
Working on his gaming.
Cappy, I'm gonna bring three tennis balls. I'm gonna bring a can of tennis balls, and I'm gonna see if you can juggle in the parking lot.
All
I'm
right,
videotape it.
Let me ask you a question. You and I are gonna go to this event tonight, right?
Yeah. And I will be there for about 45 minutes because I got to get back to watch the game.
Okay, that's my question. Is the game going to be on at the Laker complex?
I don't know, but I need to be prepared to do work tomorrow morning, and I need to be able to at least watch. I'm going to record it, but I'm going to need to watch the fourth quarter in real time.
So I got to say, as far as these NBA finals are concerned, and I know you wanted to get to this Steph Curry debate that everybody's been having today, which I don't really understand where it came from and why we're having it, but that's okay.
Well, because he's been the best player.
Right, but I'm willing to jump in. But here's the thing. You see the story this weekend about Del Curry and his wife and how they're at the game?
They're dating exes, basically.
Right, right. So yes. Del Curry, Steph Curry's dad, and his mom, I think her name's Sonia, they were married. Yes. And then there's this other couple, two people, yes. I don't know who they are.
Let's just call them John and Sue.
Right, and they were married. Yeah. And then Del and Sonia got divorced, and John and Sue got divorced.
And now they're dating each other,
right.
Yes.
Del is dating Sue. And Sonya's dating John. Right, yes. John, right.
Yeah.
And they're all at the game together.
Yeah.
And so it's like swapping spouses, which...
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's not like it. It actually is it. What does everybody think about this?
I mean, it's a free country, man. You can date whoever the hell you want. I don't know.
Yeah, like, no, I love
think
it.
It's weird. And if that were my parents, I'd be like, what the hell?
Really?
It is weird.
Is it weird?
Yeah.
Now, according to the reports, the guy played football at Virginia Tech when Del Curry was a basketball player at Virginia Tech.
Well, I think the family knew each other clearly before.
Right. Yeah. Listen, I've seen this happen before, guys. I have seen a lot of this. Okay, I've seen.
But you're a fan of wife swapping.
Well, I'm a fan
spouse
of
swapping.
Oh. Well, I'm a like I've seen a lot of like cheating couples where like the wife is cheating with this guy. And then his wife finds out, so then she goes and sleeps with that girl's husband. Like
that's a reality show.
Oh, dude, I got them. I got plenty of them. I know a couple, and they're involved in a relationship with another couple. So when they all four get together.
So they're swingers?
Yes. Oh. But just four of them. They're not like swingers with everybody. There's only four.
Yeah.
I know. All this is kind of interesting family dynamics. I find this stuff to be fascinating.
I don't share.
See that, George? Beyond interesting. Fascinating.
Fascinating is your secondary word.
Right. Interesting is my first one, but this is beyond interesting. This is fascinating.
But swinging is a completely different thing than this wife swap situation because to me, it's super awkward for like everybody else involved because they've got their sets of friends and their social circles and the kids, you know, like, and the families on both sides where it's like, oh, I'll see you at Christmas, but maybe not. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's a very awkward, uncomfortable situation for everyone else.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but like for me, it's just, I ain't going to tell nobody what to do with their life, but it is weird.
Yeah, it ain't my problem.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't care. It's weird. Right. They can live their life. I have no problem with it, but I would think if that were my parents, I would be extremely like weirded out by it.
But listen, here's the thing. All my mom's over here with that guy who I've known forever. My dad's over here with his ex-wife.
Here's if I had to guess, and this is just a venturing a guess, okay? I don't know if this is, like, again, I don't even know why I'm doing this or entertaining this. But nonetheless, my guess is they've known each other for a long time. According to the story I read, they used to actually go as a group and watch Seth Curry's Duke games back in the day. So they've known each other for a really long time. To your point, the gentleman played football while Dell was a basketball player at Virginia Tech. So they probably have known each other for a really long time, which means they've all been close for a really long time. So... when that happened, you know, probably simultaneously or you know, probably near around the same amount of time they both got divorced, they probably were like shoulders to cry on, right?
No, dude. Somebody cheated on somebody. That's what happened here.
Why does it have to always be that? Maybe it was, but I don't know.
I think that was a report. We don't know that. We can't speculate, but that was a report or a rumor.
Yeah, that somebody cheated on somebody and then the other two got together. I mean, yeah, listen.
You know what you are, Cappy?
Tell me.
Un chismoso.
Does that mean hot?
No.
Okay, because I thought you were telling me that I was hot.
What does it mean?
Un chismoso sounds like sexy to me. Right? Laura, I mean, is it? Como
it means
se dice?
You're a gossip.
Yes. Oh, George.
Gossip queen.
Okay, tell me how to say that in Espanol.
Chismoso.
Chismoso. In Yiddish, that's yenta. Yes, I'm a yenta. You asked me to pay money to support journalism. I don't support journalism. I support sensationalism. Yes.
I'm actually asking you not only to support journalism, but support the kid who comes on every week to talk to us about baseball without getting a dime.
Un chismoso.
Yeah. How about you just pay Substack? It's 50 bucks for the year.
Okay. Maybe I will. Maybe
you
I
cheapo.
Will.
Cheapo.
Well, Yenta.
You're a chismoso and a cheapo.
Yenta, chismoso, cheapo, and doesn't support
Escolo.
Journalism.
Yeah. Escolo.
Supports sensationalism. Escolo. So you were saying about this debate about Steph Curry, though.
Yeah, Ireland and was freaking out, like saying that you can't have him. He can't win the MVP. Well, if he's the best player, I mean, it's gonna depend on the 11 people who vote on that. That's
right.
What it is.
But if I'm sitting there courtside and I'm voting, and I'm like, okay, so the Celtics just won, but Steph Curry scored all these points and kept his team alive and willed them to victory and so on. Like, the Celtics have the trophy, but I do think the best player, the most valuable guy in the whole thing was this guy, because if it wasn't for him.
Let's say it goes seven, like the Cavs and Warriors did, right? And that's why, now that one's different. But let's say it goes seven, right? And the Celtics win by one, but Steph Curry's still averaging like 40 points a game.
Okay.
But they went on like a crazy last shot.
Right.
And everyone else is just playing to their averages at that point. Like, mm-hmm. Shouldn't Steph be considered?
Yeah, why is there this unwritten rule that the only way...
Well, since Jerry West, it hasn't happened. That's
well, right.
the whole thing.
But I'm just saying, it's we all are we sort of brainwash ourselves. No. You can't be on the losing side and be the MVP. The MVP
LeBron
has to come from the winning side.
LeBron should have won it in 2015.
Yeah, I don't know why
I would have given it to Steph personally then, but whatever.
Revisionist history.
Well, I don't understand why there's this, like I said, this unwritten expectation that a guy who's on the losing team can't be the most valuable player. It's an individual honor.
By the way, do you guys remember what happened on this day in 2016?
Today, 2016. Today's June 13th, mm-hmm. correct? June 13th, yep. 2016. Where was I? June 13th, 2016. Ooh, dark place. Okay.
It was the beginning of the greatest comeback in sports history of all time, ever.
Is that right?
Yeah, game five of the Cavs-Warriors finals.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Great memories.
Greatest comeback in the history of sports, George? Is that right?
Ooh, I don't know. Probably the Red Sox, right? I mean, they came back down 0-3. That never happened before in baseball.
No one has ever.
And I say that as a guy who back then was a big Yankees fan and said on the air that there was, quote, no way on God's green earth that the Red Sox are going to win four straight against the Yankees.
And look what happened. I'm trying to think what year that was. Was that 2002, 2001, 2004? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, I can buy that.
And it was the year after the Yankees broke their heart with Aaron Boone. So, anywho.
All right, so I'm going to meet you with the
who
Lakers.
Wins tonight?
I'm going to take Golden State's going to win tonight, and I'm going to wear your jacket proudly tonight at this Laker event.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to rock
it. This event. I'll be there in 30 minutes, but I'm out by 7:15, so if you're not there by then.
How long is it going to take me to get from LA Live?
Like 40. All right, we're done here. Great job, Lindsay and Laura. NBA Finals, Game 5, next.